Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you from an office upstairs above the Draft House Cinemas in Austin, Texas, the South Lamar location, during the appropriately named Fantastic Fest on Monday, September 24, Two Oceans 12. Since last I spoke and you listened, I did a movie interruption at CineFamily in Los Angeles. Zach Galifianakis, Matt Besser, Ben Schwartz, and Hot Saucerman helped me to interrupt The Amazing Spider-Man, the story of a 28-year-old boy who does pretty much all the same things that Tobey Maguire did 10 years ago, minus most of the fun. But my guests here today, let's not dwell on the past. My guests here today are members of a group in Austin called Master Pancake, who regularly mock movies themselves. Please welcome. I don't know why I wrote please welcome. There's no audience to welcome you guys. You can welcome each other. Owen Edgerton, Joe Parsons, and Scott Chester.
Yay.
Everybody.
Welcome.
You guys are all here.
Yeah.
And we got one other creep sitting in the corner for extra
audience
laughs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so tell the listeners about Owen. We've done Master Pancake is similar to the movie interruption thing I do.
Yeah,
but you guys work harder at it. you pick a movie to mock, you all sit down and watch the movie and prepare jokes to say.
We do,
and then you. Most movies you like run them a few times since you have all the jokes and
we'll
a big following.
Yeah, we end up doing it like a 3 weeks or 4 weeks run, and we'll do four shows a weekend. And we take some time, watch the movie a few times, write a skit usually.
Yeah, and then when you're doing it four times over a weekend with the same movie, you can huddle after each showing and say, "Here's where we need a better joke." And
right, yeah. And sometimes you don't even have to huddle. Sometimes it's really clear, like, oh, I'm never, ever going to say that again.
No, that's what it's like when we just riff on the movie interruptions is that, you say something and nobody laughs. And it's just either they didn't hear it right or you didn't say it right or, the timing was off.
That's always my excuse. I'm like, I don't think they heard it because I know it's funny.
Well, because sometimes there's an explosion on screen or something. It's kind of hard to compete with action sometimes.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, or like, if you're trying to make a... any kind of long-winded joke. sometimes the movie itself steps on your attempt to make a joke.
Joe knows all about
or they that. Cut a, or they cut away from the thing you're making fun of. Because you guys do improvised ones, and yes. we're going to do one tomorrow night.
That's
at
right.
the. It's already sold out. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry if you're in the area. You can't get in. But it's tomorrow night we're doing Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Over at the what's called the Village,
yes,
not to be confused with the M. Night Shyamalan
classic
Village, yeah, and those when I participate, but sometimes even when I'm not there as well, you guys will improvise. You
yeah, do, we yeah. do like what we've been
about
doing
once a month,
once
roughly.
A month or so, and what we let the audience just brings in movies.
It's called Choose Your Own Pancake.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Everybody brings in DVDs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. and then
judging process whittle it down.
Yeah, you guys narrow it down. I guess I should be more clear about whose voice is who. Owen, say, that's Owen.
This is Owen.
And Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
This is Scott.
Scott. And you guys, you whittle down the list of people. You don't let everybody get up and speak. But then, like, the top 10.
Top 10, top 15. Right.
Have top to 15. Get up and defend their movie. And yeah. that's right. The audience should watch it. And then the audience gets to vote.
Right.
That's right. The one that won last time was a little piece of magic called Bulletproof, starring Gary Busey.
Wow.
Where
he... this movie?
There's also a Bulletproof with Damon Wayans and Adam Sandler, right?
That's true.
Yeah, but this is not
this
that one.
This was funnier.
This is way funnier.
But for all the wrong reasons.
At one point...
this Busey, one's a lot more bulletproof.
Busey...
that's my attempted at Busey.
That was like Busey sober. That's pretty good.
I'd do Busey if he had his shit together.
Oh my god. Garrett Busey? Is that higher? Busey jumps out of the rafters and he says, I'm your worst nightmare, Butthorn! This is that movie.
He actually says Butthorn...
Butthorn.
A few times.
Yes, like a time.
It's because it works. Why not say...
They're on a mission to recover the stolen mega weapon of the U.S. military called the Thunder Blast, which is a tank with three cannons on it. That's pretty much all it is.
Well, that's where the Butthorn comes in, because I don't know what the Butthorn
is. Scott can't explain the Butthorn.
Well, you know, like, what have we done with you in past time? We did a lifeguard?
Yeah, lifeguard was where I just said, I just want to do lifeguard, and we did it. And yeah. after it was over, I regretted it a little bit.
Really?
Because it wasn't as much fun as I remembered it. You know, like, I went into it thinking...
It was pretty fun.
It had some good stuff in there, for sure.
It had statutory rape.
Yeah. So that's always...
That's how those... bring your own pancakes are. Some of them are real fun. And then you might hit a little low on the next one.
Well, you guys also do a smart thing that, like, when I do it out at Cinefamily in L.A., we just play the whole movie regardless. And a lot of times it's 2 hours, 2 hours plus.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little bit, like, it's kind of hard to, you know, keep it going through the whole movie. But I also mostly do it with sort of recent right. hits or failures, like in the case of, like, you know, like a Battleship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... it also makes a movie like that, that's like a, for me, is a great environment in which to watch it if you had any curiosity about it. Like John yeah. Carter was a good one.
Right.
Because everybody kind of wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And on the big screen, but then with people saying things during the slow parts, yeah. of which there are many, it really it makes for a great experience.
Yeah.
But I think the best ones to do are the ones where, I'm sure you guys prefer movies to be pretty shitty.
No, actually...
It depends. I think, really, we just want something that is recognizable.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Because, like, old favorites work great yeah. because people know the movie well enough that they want to see it, and then they want to see it teased like it's a roast of one of their best friends.
Exactly, yeah.
yeah
you like, make fun of your brother at the table, you know?
Yeah,
and stuff from the 80s are great because
yeah.
they have no irony. Like, there's no awareness in Karate Kid. There would like it's just it's Footloose. There's no irony involved, and that's mm-hmm. just sweet and kind of fun to destroy.
Yeah, we did when I did it with you guys one time. The audience picked Skyscraper, starring.
Oh man, that one was
starring Anna Nicole Smith, and that is just
that was brilliant.
The scene where she's in the shower with those gigantic boobs of hers was God. Crazy.
It's like she's wearing pumpkins on a string around her neck.
she really did look like she had a tumor problem because it wasn't just her breasts. It was like other parts were bulging. Like,
yeah, she was just a large woman in general at that time.
Yeah,
a large, drugged up rhinoceros.
She looked like two kids in a trench coat trying to sneak into a dirty movie.
Yeah, so there was that one, and but then you did a thing last year over Thanksgiving that I just attended that I enjoyed a great deal called Hanksgiving, where you show clips from Tom Hanks movies, and not, you know, a lot of the beloved ones. There are clips from Big and Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption. He was great, man.
Small part of
the rich man's
number
Green
two.
Mile.
He was great. Just from the neck down, so you don't know.
Apollo 13. Yeah.
That was John Erler's idea. John, you know, John was like, this would be super fun to do. And I think he was born out of the pun of Hanksgiving.
Yeah. But it really works because as much as I love Tom Hanks, you know, in retrospect, it's a lot of goofy shit that he's in there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of weird stuff happens in his movies. The fact that you guys illuminated the point that Tom Hanks has peed on camera four times.
That's amazing, man.
Like, if you ask the average person, how many times do you think you've seen Tom Hanks pee in a movie? They'd say maybe once or twice. I think, remember, A League of Their Own is pretty much a pretty massive peeing scene.
Yeah.
But then, you know, one person argued with me that he doesn't pee in Apollo 13. And I'm like, yes, he does. He puts it in a tube and we see it shot out into space.
The constellation Huron.
So anyway.
I'm trying to think about it. Spend some time
Green Mile.
In Green Mile, he has a physical ailment. He has painful peeing. Scene.
Passes a golf stone or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow. Big has a big pee scene, but it got cut. It's in the, you have to watch the director's cut. But
I think he gets peed on in Money Pit.
That's right. He does. The fountain pee on him.
The fountain
pee on him. I'm like, yeah, he does.
I was kind of.
I thought you were making a joke.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was like, it's a some sort of a weird porn called The Money Pit.
Oh,
it sounds like it does.
Mm.
But I could talk forever about interrupting movies because it's like it's something only a few of us do, and it's, you know, all the different variables of what makes a movie good for interrupting and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Have you guys done Fast Five?
No.
That's a blast.
Because that's a kind of a good movie.
It's got some great stunts, but the plot is ridiculous.
That's true.
All right, we're here. We flew all the way to Rio. Why are we here? And then he tells him the plan. We're going to rob a bunch of banks. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And he turns and starts walking away. Like a guy flew all the way down there. I've got something I want to talk to you about.
I thought it was going to be Amway.
I have another group waiting in Portugal. I'll give them that.
Well, he's going to make a vacation out of it. You know, he brought his wife and kids. They're going to go see the sights.
And they're the good guys.
Yeah.
But when they're dragging that safe smashes into cop cars in a way that is murdering police officers. And it's just a fun, I hope the bad guys get away movie, you know? And there's like a million examples of, and also just the way, where the scene where they ride the car off the cliff, Dom and Paul Walker, and the way you survive that is to just jump out of the car as it's plummeting, and you can just dive into the water. And they do that, and then when they come up for air, they start arguing immediately. Like, it's not like, can you believe what we just survived? No, it's immediately like, I told you we shouldn't have come down here, but you said. Like, they start floating and arguing. But anyway, there's lots of movies that are fun to do, and every once in a while there's one that's, you know, maybe turns out to be a mistake. And hopefully tomorrow night when we do Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, that'll fit the bill. But that is a smart thing you guys do with the removing 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah, we watch an hour of it, and then we break for a skit, and then we come back and watch the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, we just make sure.
So it's always an hour and a half.
Yeah, and you guys always have a crazy skit that involves, like, water balloons or nudity or both.
Skyscraper involves water balloons and nudity.
When Owen's there, usually it ends in a huge mess.
I'm clumsy.
I don't know why. No, it's not that. For some reason, let's put it this way, the mess we're planning for tomorrow night is my idea, but somehow you're inspiring me to make it.
Okay, so let me be clear that I don't want to be in the sketch tomorrow.
Yes!
It's legal now.
I'll just be watching from the audience. Is there going to be a splash zone? Should I sit farther back?
No, you'll be okay. Feel free to make comments.
How's the front row at the Village? Is it too close to the screen?
No, it's perfect. It's actually just they've removed
So they redesigned it, so they took out the, like, the front, like, edge seats on the far corners. And what's left is these, like, five or six seats right in the middle of the front row that are perfect for what we do.
Yeah, Gallo's been pretty good about, like, let's make every theater really good and not have any crappy seats. Like, if there's a crappy seat, just get it out of there.
That's smart.
Yeah.
At CineFamily, we have the front two rows are couches, so we get to kick back in couches with our microphones, and so it's just it's as much fun for me and my friends that are interrupting a movie as it is for the audience, and sometimes maybe even more so for us.
Yeah.
Back to my podcast from the corrections department, or should I say the overlook department? Adam Scott was on the last episode of the show that we taped at UCB in LA, and he was there to promote the movie Bachelorette, and neither one of us mentioned it the entire show. So, we were too excited about Leonard Maltin being there, I guess. Or maybe, you know, we didn't want to find out what Leonard Maltin thought of it, because it doesn't seem like his cup of tea, a Bachelorette party where they were doing cocaine and stuff. But anyway, Bachelorette is in theaters and video on demand right now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Fantastic Fest, because you guys are probably pretty familiar with it living here. It's the 12th year?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know if it's that far back. It's like eight years.
It's eight years.
Yeah.
Okay. I got confused just because it is 2012 right now, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
I want to say, and you guys can chime in with any of your thoughts you have, because this is my first Fantastic Fest, and I'd like to say the things that I've learned so far of Fantastic Fest, my first one. I learned that the director of Dread 3D was basically forced to make it in 3D because of financial, money recoupment concerns.
Yeah.
And I think that their response should have been, you can't spell Dread without 3Ds. So it has to be in 3D. I learned that that the dogs were well behaved when they allowed Fantastic Fest does some pretty weird shit. Yeah. And this year, for the premiere of Frankenweenie, they had the premiere on several screens, and one screen was dedicated to every audience member could bring their dog if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So 60 dogs or so watched Frankenweenie, and I'm told by Tim Burton during the Q&A after that not only did those dogs enjoy the movie, but he says that he hears from people all the time that dogs enjoy his films.
French people, yeah.
So, and I'm just assuming that's mostly because dogs are more individuals than story. Because they can't understand what Johnny Depp is saying anyway. At the same Q&A, I learned that 84-year-old Martin Landau, I almost called him Leonard Maltin, Martin Landau can still pull off a good pratfall when he accidentally and horrifically fell up while trying to step onto the stage. He fell back, he reached out for help, and the only person there was the child that was the voice of the kid in Frankenweenie.
It looked a little bit.
It looked like the kid didn't try to pull him at all. And he fell back, and it was very violent and scary. But he popped up pretty quickly and said, "Great entrance," or something like that. But people were watching it. It was simulcast in all the other theaters. So the dogs saw that in another theater. The dogs were worried about Martin Landau.
Martin Crash Landowing.
Yeah, it was.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'll tell you what, that kid's never going to work in a business again.
I just feel bad for Martin Landau, because what was it now, 13 years ago, that Space 1999 got canceled?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot it was on there.
That was longer ago than that. That was supposed to be the future back when they did it. I learned that the 3D glasses provided by the folks at Real 3D are not as uncomfortable as some that I've experienced. But I still don't think that 3D is worth the effort.
Mm. Well, they won't be using that in a commercial anytime soon.
I know.
He's part of it.
I learned at Fantastic Fest that the festival is so cool that they let me and audience members smoke something in the theater during the premiere of the greatest movie ever rolled. So that was exciting, and I guess is going to be allowed to happen again when they show that movie again on Thursday afternoon. Yeah.
APD.
Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it on the podcast. I learned while watching Taped that if you inadvertently videotape a police officer committing murder in a foreign country where you don't speak the language, that you are fucked. They should have called the movie Fucked instead of Taped.
I didn't see that one.
Have you guys seen anything at this? I know that, you know, as a local, you don't necessarily...
I was going to. I was like, I planned all this thing, and then this work stuff came up, and I actually have seen very little. I've seen some stuff, but not nearly enough.
What did you see?
I saw Frankenweenie.
Right.
And I saw Landau Fall Down.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some of the events.
That's going to be a short next year.
Yeah.
Landau Fall Down.
Landau Fall Down.
Jess Lundberg is directing it, I think. And writing it, he claims. That's it.
Then they have to change it to Stumblecore. It's the Stumblecore. And Joe, you haven't seen anything.
I haven't. It's been a surprisingly busy, like, week in my life, I guess, in the last like several weeks.
Even get a badge this year, right? You didn't want to.
No, I didn't. I think that's more just me. Festivals kind of intimidating.
That's what I meant.
Festivals I find really
intimidating.
Well, it's just there's so much to do and the crowds and the it's just
Joe's. It's kind of a.
He's like, can't I just sit in the front, not wait in line, sit in the front row and hold a microphone during the movie? Can't I just do that?
But the thing is, like, as much as I complain and avoid it, every time I go to any sort of festival or anything like that, I have a great time.
Yeah.
So I think I just need to get over myself and go do it some year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been.
It really is the best. It's the best festival I've ever gone to. Like, fantastic festival.
It's the festival?
It's the festival.
I got a badge for performing at South By this year. And I went to a bunch of comedy stuff. In fact, I saw you at Estrus Follies that year.
Oh, nice.
And it was great, man. I saw all the comedy. I saw all of it. And it was fantastic.
No films, then?
You
didn't see anything?
Huh.
I go see films during the second weekend of South By when the bands are kicking in. That's when I go see a lot of movies because the badge is still good for movies and they're a slightly lighter attendance, so you can actually get into some stuff. But I've been having a blast here at Fantastic Fest, and I just one more thing I want to mention. I learned that hosting the Fantastic Debates is an extremely difficult job. But Owen, you pulled it off.
Thanks.
I think most people there were grateful that you were the host. Because for the listeners, the Fantastic Debates, Tim Leake, the man co-founder of Alamo Drafthouse, and he probably also co-founded Fantastic Fest.
Yes.
But basically the top guy likes to have people go into a boxing ring and debate some sort of topic that has something to do with movies,
right?
And then beat the shit out of each other in an actual boxing match,
right?
And in the past, Dominic Monaghan and Elijah Wood fought each other.
Yeah.
That was supposedly pretty awesome,
pretty cool, yeah.
And then, but this time it sort of went off the rails a little bit because Tim Leake was supposed to fight the auteur behind the movie
Miami Connection,
which is an old...
It's like a 1980
crazy movie that...
Self-made by this guy, this Taekwondo grandmaster, YK Kim.
And acquired by Drafthouse Films.
Is that true? Are they acquired it now? They have, okay.
Yeah,
right.
So now it's going to pop up in places, I assume, all over the place.
Yeah.
As a fun movie to watch because it is a product of the 80s.
Yeah, it's just like,
and there's probably
there.
Quite a language barrier as well. Like,
yes.
The dialogue is probably very silly.
Yes. And the music by Dragon Sound is pretty, it's kind of spectacular in its own way. Like, Dragon Sound is like everything from the 80s just slammed into like a shot.
Yeah, and the band played the other night
over
at the Highball. And but you had to host the fights, and in the case of that fight between Tim and that guy... That guy didn't really want to fight because he's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
And Tim Leake really wanted to punch him.
Yes. Tim Leake, actually, in fair enough, Tim Leake wanted to be punched. He
wants to fight.
Yeah, he wants to fight. He's been training now.
He needs a real fight.
He's been doing it now for like a number of years, and every year, like, I think the first year, he's like, kind of a little drunk. He's like, oh shit, I got hit a lot. So he's like, he's been taking a few boxing lessons outside of, you know, buying movies and running a theater and festival. And so, yeah, you know, he fought Michelle Rodriguez a couple of years ago. And even with her, she's like, oh, yeah, this is kind of fun. And then, like, he got in there.
Yeah,
like,
no, shit, no girl fight.
Yeah, she got real on. No girl fight.
This is the real shit.
So, yeah,
that guy was weird.
I think Tim might be Tyler Durden.
He might.
He just wants to, like,
yeah,
feel alive.
Accidentally started a cinema club. And then he's like, oh, how can I get fighting into this? Oh, there's a boxing ring next door.
Perfect.
Yeah, that is perfect. But I guess this whole facility is going to be rearranged and changed, and the boxing ring's going to be gone.
Yeah, almost everything around is going to be gone.
But so the whole festival will have a whole new look next year.
Yeah.
They're going to go ahead with it and do it again next year, same time of year, right?
Yes, yeah.
Fantastic Fest number 8 or 9 or something?
It'll be 9.
But you got off some really good lines throughout the whole evening of,
oh, thanks,
of a bunch of people crammed into a room watching fake boxing.
Hey, there was some real boxing.
There really was. People, some...
Joe Swanberg beat the shit out of Devin
Faraci, and then the girls whose names I don't know, but
Saska
sisters.
Saska.
The Saska sisters really went after each other.
They really did.
Like, people were hitting the face down to the mat.
They were not fighting, wearing headgear. They were hitting each other, and they were wearing thongs while doing it. It was really anything and everything you could ask.
I think if you go to fantasticfest.com, there's footage of it.
I think so.
Yeah, so check that out. And just a sidebar, last night I was watching the Emmys, and there was an ad for Frankenweenie, and the critic quote that they use in the ad for Frankenweenie is, Tim Burton's freshest work in years. Like, isn't that a serious burn on Tim Burton?
Yes,
to be like,
it is.
To be like, oh, now he's made something good that you should come see.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Dark Shadows was, what, 6 months ago? It's not like...
Yeah, that seems rude to me to say that. I mean, freshest, I guess, isn't terribly descriptive, but... yeah, that was bizarre.
It's like saying, don't worry, it doesn't suck like you think it will.
Yeah.
And it's
oh, I like
it's
it.
Very cute.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very cute, and again, I was tolerated the 3D glasses for it.
Yeah. The 3D's pretty good on that one, actually.
It's, yeah, like, but it's like all of them. It's just like, you know, how much depth do you really need in mm-hmm. a movie?
Right.
And movies are already pretty cool looking.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's just me, though. I, you know, out at the Arclight in Los Angeles, whenever you go to a 3D movie there, it's these heavy, like, you know, it's like wearing a helmet. And it just weighs on me and makes me sad.
My kids won't see 3D movies. They're like, well, I'm not going to see Frankenweenie.
Your kids are great.
Yeah. They listen to your podcast. That's why.
Your kids are true humanitarians.
They are.
Does anyone hunger for games?
I do.
Yes. Let's play. Scott's like, yes. You just explained how to play to me a few minutes ago, but I think I hunger for it. I think you'll be able to pick it up, and you certainly have some movie knowledge, considering you would not be a master pancaker.
You'd be surprised.
Is there a reasonable explanation from where the name Master Pancake came from?
Not really, no. It came out of
it's
a
just
random...
one of those things that after a while you can't even explain it anymore.
Yeah, it was a name
everybody hated equally.
Yeah, we threw it out as a joke at one point, and it was like, why not?
Yeah, let's call it that thing we all hate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got an alright ring to it, I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah.
People just call it Pancake, too, after a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys want to go pancake it, right?
I got my cake on. How about you? Pea cake. I was really down with it.
Oh, no. Tomcat loves pea cake. I mean, before the divorce.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, or after. So let's just play a game of Leonard Maltin, see how you guys
Woo!
Do. Yeah. I've got to fire it up here on my phone.
It's pity John Earler isn't here. He'd love to be playing this. Yeah. John Earler is usually like he's done every show. He's actually in Italy right now.
And yeah, because he won on Jeopardy. He's a Jeopardy champion.
Oh, so he had that was his prize.
They made him go there.
Because you have to pay the taxes on it when you win shit like
they
that.
They do, but they...
There's enough money.
Yeah, it's still a great deal.
Yeah, they take out the taxes before they give you the check, apparently. He was telling me. But anyway, yeah, he's using his winnings. He's going on a vacation. His first one
or he would be here.
I'll have to try to get him on against Ken Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ken Jennings did the show recently.
Oh, yeah,
really?
Turns out no one could beat him, surprisingly.
You should have all
I was going to say, or we can get John Hamm in there, because he's great at it. But we'll have to wait and see about that, because getting John Hamm to appear at all is a Herculean task, and I've pulled it off a few times. But
I feel like he's on every podcast.
Yeah, he's busy. He's either making a major motion picture or a TV series or appearing on someone else's podcast. So, so it's hard for me to get him, but he's a great guy, and he's very very cooperative once you get him in the room, and he's really good at the games.
Man, you know, my big weakness is years that things came out.
Oh, me too. That's why I run the game and not play it, because,
man,
I'll be like...
I know.
Well, they'll be like, the year is 1985, and I'll be like, sounds like Titanic.
Yeah.
You know, like I really did get Titanic wrong by like a whole decade. Like,
yeah, I've done that too.
I'm terrible at that, but I can tell you 10 or 12 people that are in Titanic.
There you go.
So everybody remembers different things, but let's go ahead and just for the heck of it, let's let Scott pick the first category.
Yeah.
since he's the most unfamiliar with the game.
Okay.
I'll give you three choices. Celebrating a birthday today is the late great Phil Hartman.
Oh.
So the films that had Phil Hartman in them, or in tribute of the fantastic debates here at Fantastic Fest, movies that either have a debate or boxing in them.
Wow!
I couldn't think of any that have both. And then also, another thing that they do here every year at Fantastic Fest is called the Fantastic Feud, and that's a big trivia competition that Scott Weinberg, he's like in charge of that,
yeah.
Right? So, in honor of that, the category is Fantastic Feud, and that's movies that featured Family Feud host Richard Dawson. So the films of Richard Dawson, a movie that has a debate or boxing in it, or Phil Hartman.
Let's go for that broad middle one there. Debate
or boxing.
Oh,
man. All right, this movie has boxing or debate in it. And it is from, sometimes I even read the year wrong, it's from 1983. And I'll give you a few clues about this movie. Scott Leonard, it's from Leonard Maltin's review, he says that there's numerous problems plagued production of this predictable movie. And he also says that it was shot in 1981, so we know it was released in 83. So it shat on itself. It shat on itself for 2 years.
Sounds like me in grad school.
Yeah, and two stars from Leonard for this movie.
Just two stars.
Yeah, so he was not that into it. And he lists 8 names. So,
oh, man.
Scott, how many names do you think you can get?
From the bottom, okay. 5 names.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a wise opening bid. And now we'll go to Joe Parsons.
Man, okay, so
you can either tell him to name it.
Yeah.
Or go... go a little bit
which
lower.
Five seems like a bold opening bid for that one. It seems, and
I'm gonna... It's classic debating movies. It's easy, I guess. I'm gonna call him on it. Scott, name that movie.
Okay, you get 5 names.
Okay, I get to pick from?
No, I'll name
look it up.
That's the part I forgot to mention when I was teaching you how to play the game. I will name all the 5 names out loud, and then you have to try to guess.
Is it 5 people who were in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, starting from the bottom.
Starting from the bottom. So you're missing the top 3.
Okay.
Yeah, but one of these names might give it away for you, and you might be like, oh, that's right, that person was in a debate and or boxing movie.
1983. was so predictable, but had that 81 look.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of dated.
I wasn't wearing anything like that 2 years ago.
Is there a newspaper stand in any shot?
It's clearly prior to those Winter Olympics.
Okay, your five names. And again, I'll tell you that it's from 1983, and it had numerous problems that plagued production, and it's predictable, and was shot 2 years prior. The clues are kind of designed to not help. And your five names are Fran Ryan, Wilford Brimley. Yeah, so it might be Oatmeal the Movie. Bruce McGill, Warren Oates, and the great Pam Grier was in this movie that featured boxing or debating. And there might even have been some arguments about boxing in it. So you could argue it had debating and boxing.
And
like, you shouldn't fight anymore. Oh, I gotta fight one more fight. That's a debate. That's a debate.
And these are movies people have heard of, right?
Well, it gets, sometimes it gets a little on the obscure side. Okay. You know, I count on you guys to be, you know, John Erler would have heard of this movie.
Yeah. I think he played a role.
So just guess a movie that has one of those things in it and you might luck out.
Okay. Cocoon.
Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon.
Yeah.
I cannot make fun of you for that answer.
Yeah, you can. That boxing scene in Cocoon was pretty amazing.
You might have debated in it, you know. You shouldn't be growing old.
These cocoons gotta go. I'm Steve Guttenberg.
No, keep the cocoons.
We should still keep chlorinating the pool.
Resolved. Cocoons should stay in the pool.
Well.
So you give up?
Oh, I get to keep name?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. You said cocoon. That's wrong. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. So Joe gets the point.
Woo-hoo.
And now you see how it works. If you force someone else to name it, that usually puts them in a tough spot. And oh, speaking of tough, the movie's called Tough Enough, and it stars Dennis Quaid, Carlene Watkins, and Stan Shaw.
Oh, they were hit the top. Huh?
Yeah.
Man, I never would have got it.
Dennis Quaid is a boxer. You remember it, though, now?
I've got it on Blu-ray.
Well, there you go. That's what happens. The guy that knows the most about it wasn't involved in that in that round. So we'll. But Owen does get to start this time.
Oh, nice.
And since Joe challenged Scott, Joe will be going second. So we start with Owen and move this way.
Okay.
The order switches each time just to change it up so it's not the same thing happening twice in a row.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want that to happen.
No.
We don't want that to happen to Scott again.
Yes.
I've been playing it wrong.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got the point.
Well, no, I mean as far as the order. He plays at home alone. It always ends up like... Someone always ends up challenging the one person who, like, you know,
right.
Clearly doesn't know it.
Yeah. Everybody gangs up on that person.
Yeah.
That can still happen.
That's not new, Scott.
That's still going to happen to you, Scott. But Owen gets to pick a category between, okay. In honor of Frankenweenie, mm-hmm. Tim Burton movies that have a dog in them.
Oh.
Probably all of them. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one that doesn't. And then someone named @Schnelljt, @Schnelljt, very clever screen name on Twitter, suggested Maul Me Maybe. And that's movies where there's a bear. or more. One or more bears.
Use a phone. That'd be fun.
Maul Me Maybe. And then @ScaryMask, which is a great Twitter handle, @ScaryMask, suggested Nicolas Cage, which is Nicolas Cage movies based on comic books.
Oh, wow.
Immediately narrows it down to three or four, I believe.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, which one of those would you like to play, Owen?
I'm going to go with the Frankenweenie. I'm going to go with Tim Burton films with dogs.
Man. That have a dog in them.
Yeah. Of course, it's going to be like reading the cast. It'll be the same cast for every movie.
Oh, that's a good point.
Possibly. We'll see. And then this is also another aspect of the game, Scott. If everybody lights up like they all know what the movie is, then that's when the negative name things comes into serious play, because then everyone knows what it is. It's obvious, but now you gotta figure out who the cast was and what order they appear. You know, they got billing in. The year is 1985. 2.5 stars from Leonard. He says about the movie that it has some real laughs. Real laughs. But then he says, not enough to sustain a feature-length film. So again, the clues aren't very helpful, because he could say that about most Tim Burton movies. And he lists 10 names. How many names do you think you can get it in? Owen_Edgerton on Twitter.
I'm going to say I can name it zero names.
See, this is what happens.
Yeah, and I'm going to say -1.
So...
And I think that's the only... Can you go further than that on that one?
They really are ganging up on you, Scott.
I'm
going
to blurt out the name.
No, that's not... That's not how it's done. So now you have to, if you can think of who the top two people were in this movie.
I think I know the movie, but I don't think I know the people.
So you have to put it on.
Have to call one of their bluffs.
Put it on. It's Joe. Yeah, you have to call Joe's bluff and say, name that movie,
that's
Joe.
What I just
name
tried.
That movie, Joe.
Okay.
So you got to name the movie.
The movie is Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
And who's the top billed person?
And man, I wonder how they've listed him, but I'm going to go ahead and say Paul Rubens.
You think there's other possibilities?
It could be Pee-wee Herman. Like,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, true.
That is a very good point. Yeah. But, you know, Leonard is very, you know, he knows who Pee-wee Herman is, or he knows who played him.
Yes.
And so both of those are correct.
Yay!
And because you're the first person to 2 points, you win the game.
Yes! It's over
already.
It's so fast. Oh, it's a clown. Oh, no.
This is why you brought me here, Joe. I said -1.
We brought you to this weird office that's going to be torn down soon.
So who's the second billed person in that movie? I'm curious.
Well, what character is in it the most after Pee-wee?
Maybe Dottie?
Dottie would be,
Who played her?
The girl from Powerpuff Girls. That's what, and she was also in, God, I don't know her name, though. She was in that great scene in
Fandango where they're shooting the fireworks off in the cemetery. She's like one of those crazy girls that Kevin Costner and Judd Nelson run into and have that fireworks fight in the cemetery.
She's in Valley Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in either Better Off Dead or.
And she had a band. I mean, she sings.
She's a musician.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. She's cute.
Mm-hmm. And her name is Elizabeth Daly.
That's her.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Daly.
Then Mark Holton, which is the fat bully kid.
Okay.
And then Diane Salinger, who was what was her name?
Mars March.
No,
Simone.
Simone. I always get it confused with. Yeah, I always get her name confused with, I want to call her Camille, because on his first HBO special, he kept making fun of a woman named Camille in the audience, and he used that same voice where he'd go, Camille, Camille, and then the movie came out, and it was Simone. Yeah, and then the names get crazy, like Elvira was in it, and James Brolin, and Morgan Fairchild, and...
Right,
and,
but Morgan Fairchild.
But if we'd have gone, if somebody had said two names and only gotten the bottom two names, they would have been Phil Hartman and Jan Hooks.
Ooh.
And those would have been great clues, because Jan Hooks is the tour guide at the Alamo.
Right.
Oh, that's right!
That would have been good
clues. And you guys do live in Texas.
Yes, there is.
By the way.
Thanks.
I came all this way to point that out to you guys. Step into my office. I want to tell you guys what state you're in. But so that's how the game works.
I
know.
Yeah, so Owen didn't really get the play.
It's over before it starts sometimes.
Man, I had experience a lot.
I'm not gonna lie.
It's a big moment for you.
Yeah,
it's a big moment for Joe.
Yeah, because you also, by doing that, by going negative names and getting it correctly and winning the game, that qualifies you for the next Tournament of Championships.
Whoa! Oh my God! This is the best game Joe's life!
So now the guy that doesn't have time to go see a movie is going to have to go on a plane and go out to L.A.
to
I would do that. I
talk
really
about
would
movies.
Do that.
All right. Well, you're on
His
the hook
only
for that.
The only stipulation is that I come.
Or you could end up playing sometime when I record an episode here, because I I do them out on the road sometimes.
Yeah.
With an audience like this Wednesday, for instance. And I should tell the listeners, in case this plops in time for them to hear it, that if you live in Austin and you're intimidated by Fantastic Fest people and all their badges and whatnot, the Highball is free to get into Wednesday afternoon. We'll start 4:20-ish. But if you get there early, all the people with badges are going to be watching movies. They're not going to get there early because they have badges. So you can get into the Highball and, just spend the afternoon getting drunk and getting ready for a live Doug Loves Movies. And do you guys have anything coming up that you want to plug?
Sure.
Master Pancake has a Twitter. It's at Master Pancake.
That's right. We are doing Forrest Gump this month. We'll be doing Forrest Gump this weekend and next weekend. After that, we will be doing
So what? You're into October?
Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right. Yes. This is October.
Or as I like to call it, Gumptober.
Yes. Doesn't really work.
You're starting out in Gumptember. Moving into Gumptober.
And then next month we'll be doing Halloween and Night of the Living Dead. One of my favorite movies, Night of the Living Dead.
Those are great ones to do.
Yeah, I refuse to do Halloween because I like it too much, the movie.
But there's
so much material.
There's very little dialogue in that movie.
Yes.
So there's plenty of opportunity to throw in your things. It'll get a little tricky because it's kind of the same throughout in terms of the location and it's really dark the whole time.
Yeah, it is really. It's a really dark movie, but there's a lot of good stuff to be said during that.
Yeah, and that's...
Consider that Michael Myers doesn't have a voice of his own. All the opportunities.
Oh my God, you guys are going to say what he's saying when he's stabbing people.
Yeah, it's great.
Joe also, for a large part of the film, voices the...
Oh, the jack-o'-lanterns
in the background.
Oh, that's fun.
So there's sort of a jack-o'-lantern who's there witnessing almost everything that happens.
I like that.
He's like an MC of the movie. He just appears from time to time. Everybody having a good time. Yes, okay, enjoy a bonbon. that's fun.
I love it.
I should say that my sketch group, Stag Comedy, will be performing in Seattle and Portland on October 5th. No, 4th, 5th, and 6th.
You guys love Seattle and Portland.
It's great.
You took the Twilight movie there.
That's true.
Back.
And this is a different group that I'm in, but we will also be going back. We actually were just
a different group. It's really actually inappropriate for you to be plugging that right now. I think, right?
No, you can plug. You can plug your individual shit.
Owen is
I can't recommend it. I can't speak to the quality of your sketch show. How many people are in it?
There's six of us.
At least 1/6 of this group is funny. I can tell you that. It might be...
Yes.
Was another name you considered Joe and the Dead Weights? And Scott, do you have anything personal you want to plug?
We just got Gump going the next 2 weekends, and I'll be playing with Jean-Pierre and the Zydeco Angels at Hardtails this Thursday.
Wait, I get yours. I don't get you. Don't you won?
No, I don't get one.
You're the big winner, so you don't get to do it. All right. So thanks to you guys for doing this. I appreciate it. And I'll be at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase on Saturday, October 6th at 4:20. Arlington Draft House in Virginia on October 7th, Arlington, Virginia. Douglas Movies at the Gramercy in New York City on Monday, October 8th. I've already lined up some amazing guests for that. I know the last one was amazing, and I have to top myself, so I'm trying to do that, schedules permitting. Minneapolis at Acme on October 20th at 4:20. Zanies in Rosemont, Illinois on Sunday, October 21st. And Phoenix, Stand Up Live on Saturday, October 27th, also at 4:20. I do a lot of shows at 4:20.
I noticed that.
Thank you, Master Pancake. And as always, Bart Duarte is a shithead, and Judas Iscariot is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in